show. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we are. Yes, the program is live. It is the second day of April 2015. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room and the wild, wonderful, real-time multimedia experience that is The Horn. Thank you kindly, Jeremy in Vermont. Welcome back, Jeremy says, loud and clear on TuneIn. I'm happy to be back. Although, I don't know. I'm giving serious thought to making April 1st a horn holiday. Because one of the things that I noticed being away last night is that I didn't get sucked in by any April Fool's stories, of which there were many. Which makes me kind of proud. Nah, we won't do that, but still. Sorry I had to be away, but we're back. And glad to have y'all on board. Good group gathered in the chat room already. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com/chatroom. That's where you go. Pick yourself out a screen name. Pick yourself out a password. Jump into the conversation. Good evening, News Ninja Carol Baker. Good evening, Anatole. Good evening, Jeremy. Good evening, Jug of Punch. Good evening, Labor Man. Good evening, Texas T. Good evening, Kim from L.A. Hope you're feeling better. And good evening to longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators, Lottie and Man Cave. Man Cave is apparently subbing in for the space folding Sparky this evening. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and yes, this is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is also where you go. Indeed, if, in fact, you would like to help us keep this on the air. And thanks go out, even though there was no program last night, thanks go out to Ron and to Andy and to Albert, all of whom made it possible for us not to dig too deep a hole by my absence last night. And so, consequently, the fundraising goal this evening is a mere $215, not much more than an ordinary night's broadcasting, and I'm happy to announce that there is a challenge on the table. Thank you very kindly to Gary for making that, one of our Garys. We have several Garys. And Gary said, good news about all the bill paying. I just wanted to make it a bit easier by offering a $75 challenge for tonight. Still no news from my Congressman Elliot Engel on the ACAC. I will stay on him. Thank you very kindly, Gary. And thank you for offering up the challenge. There it is. There's 75 bucks on the table, so your 5 becomes 10. Your 10, 20. Your 20, 40. Your 40, 80. Up to the grand total of $75. And if we raise the 200, and that's a big chunk of getting the 215 out of the way this evening, leaving us on perfect par for tomorrow evening and just $150 per evening like we try to do every evening. Mm-hmm. Now, if you prefer to use the U.S. Postal Service as opposed to the PayPal interface at headonradionetwork.com, you can send checks and money orders that are made payable to the Horn, not Bob Kincaid, to the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, 318 Beckley, Beckley, WV, 25801. Okay? Good. So maybe I don't have to mention that anymore for the rest of the program, and we can just get on about the business of enjoying ourselves in this conversational wonderland that we have kept going, you have kept going, for yea verily, 10 years. Okay? Okay.
Okay.
Right. thank you, Randy, and PA, loud and clear on iTunes on my Mac. Much appreciated. Well, it is Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn, and we've got an abundance of them. I guess the first potential thorn we might note is exactly that, a potential thorn. It's a thorn that sort of hasn't happened yet, but predicting that this thorn will pierce flesh is sort of like predicting that the sun will come up and all the metaphoric baggage that carries tomorrow. Because, you see, the countries of the world engaged in negotiations with Iran announced that they have the framework of a deal, which must be completed by June. And even some of the stauncher critics of the deal have said that it looks like a pretty stern deal. It is a means of watching the Iranian nuclear program, which they continue to insist is civilian in nature, for the next 10 years. With tons of verification and inspectors free to travel about the country. Yeah. And, already that spoiled, rotten brat of a war criminal, Bibi Netanyahu, is hooting and hollering, which means that his paid allies in the United States Congress, you know, another word for them is traitors, will hoot and holler too. These people who love Israel more than they love their own country. So, you know, you have that. But like I said, we can predict that as surely as the sun will come up. And will it be enough to scuttle the deal in the Senate? Well, that remains to be seen. Of course, and the reason this gets complicated is the reason Iran is participating is because Iran would like to have a crippling boatload of sanctions that have been imposed against it lifted. Because those sanctions are affecting, you know, not just Iran as a state, but Iranian people. Feeding children. Trying to live day-to-day lives. Yeah. Now, this is merely a framework, so we can expect lots of hooting and hollering and, you know, bat country noises. But it's not the deal itself. Oh, well. They're going to hoot and holler, aren't they? It's what right-wingers do. It's what wingnuts do. So I figured that was at least worth a mention at the beginning of this Thorn in the Side Thursday. Oh, let me see. getting some help with understanding the issue relating to a secondary display on the new-to-us MacBook Pro. And thank you, Randy, for that help. Okay, other thorns in the side. Well, I guess we're going to have to talk some more about Talibandiana. It's rather unavoidable. But there is plenty of other opportunities as well. Let's see. Oh, shucks, why not? You know, in just about every other corner of the... And by the way, just because we're talking about Talibandiana and the rise, well, continuing rise, let's put it that way, of religious bigotry in America, let us not forget that that is not necessarily what is driving the concerns of the rest of the world. Let's see. How about global climate change? A lot of the world's worried about global climate change. Well, President Not Sure has just signed off on some leases to allow, is it Shell? Is it Shell? Yeah, I think. To drill for oil in the Arctic. You know, the melted Arctic. Well, that should make drilling all the easier, shouldn't it? Sadly, yes. That's got some people's attention. Martial law has been ended in Thailand, but don't set off the fireworks yet, because it's only been ended because the military dictatorship there has completely consolidated power. No kidding, the military dictator, General, what was his name? Never mind. Announced, you have nothing to fear in Thailand as long as you're not breaking the law. The problem, however, with military dictatorships being breaking the law is a rather fluid term that can change from moment to moment. Yes. Mm-hmm. What else? Well, the continuing dribble of information coming out of the German wings crash. Turns out that Lufthansa knew more than they were letting on that they knew at the time that they let young Andreas Lubitz get behind the yoke of a great big Airbus A320. And, you know, is there such a thing as a small jet? It's a relative term. If you can put more than two people in it, it's a big jet to me. And, of course, 150 is rather a lot more than two. The French investigative ministry is rather upset because a pair of media outlets, one of them being Paris Match, claims to have seen video of the final moments of the plane crash, in which people realized that things were about to get very, very terminally bad. The video was recovered from a cell phone. The phone itself was destroyed, but the micro SD chip survived. Mercifully, it has not yet. Please tell me, the more internet savvy folks, please tell me it is not yet visible out there in the wider internet world. But nonetheless, these media outlets claim to have seen it. Right. Oh yeah, there's no small number of things going on. By the way, the Chinese seem to be making real headway in actually bringing about peace in Afghanistan. Oddly enough, we weren't able to bomb, blast, mortar, rocket, and shoot our way to peace over the last 12 years. Funny how that works. Mm-hmm. And why do the Chinese want peace in China? Well, looky there. They've signed deals to mine for precious minerals. They're going to turn at least one chunk of, I think, southern Afghanistan into a giant open pit copper nightmare. Gee, I wonder what the Urdu for cancer cluster is. Well, they'll have one here in about 10 years, courtesy of the People's Republic of China. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, before we go into this stuff, just a gentle reminder that there's other stuff out there that is of concern to the rest of the world. Note coming in from Ron and Raleigh, and I don't know if I'm going to be any help here. I'll try. Don't know. Hey, Bob, could you please explain to me, I'm not the explainer guy, Ron, dadgummit. Could you please explain to me why everyone, including most progressive talkers, seem to be pissing their pants scared of Iran? After all, wasn't it the U.S.? That overthrew their democratic government, blew 280 of their citizens into red mist, inflicted the savic on them for nearly 30 years, fought a proxy against Iraq for 8 long years. How did they get to be the bad guys? They burned our flag. Yep, they done burned our flag and took over our embassy. And we're still mad about that because we couldn't do nothing about it. And neither that lily-livered Jimmy Carter nor that lily-livered, well, no, he wasn't really lily-livered, that Ronnie Reagan. He was just kind of a snake wallowing on its belly, cutthroat, sneak thief, foot pad, lick spittle. That lick spittle Ronnie Reagan didn't want to do anything about it, you might remember. Some of us who are of a certain age. And hey, kids, if you're not of a certain age, you might actually want to know that once upon a time, Uncle Ronnie Reagan actually undermined an American presidential election and undermined American foreign policy and kept hostages from being released by Iranian terrorists until he became president of the new United States of America. And then, children, Uncle Ronnie Reagan, who was the great communicator and told us all about mourning in America and brought the Russian bear to its knees, well, Ronnie Reagan, after he done become president, Ronnie Reagan, who loved America, traded missiles to the Iranians in exchange for our hostages. That's what a great American Ronnie Reagan was. Little just historical backstory there for those who didn't happen to live through the Iran-Contra affair. I was all of 23 years old when that was going on. But I also happened to be working at CNN and was pretty well on my way to being a straight-up news junkie. Yeah. But that rather evades, and I think I was trying to actually, that rather evades Ron and Raleigh's question, to wit, why is most everybody, including most progressive talkers, pissing their pants skeert of Iran? And there are a couple of answers I will posit. One, Israel. Two, racism. Three, Israeli racism. Because, see, Israel has convinced the world, mostly, or a big chunk of it, that those Iranians are crazy and cannot be trusted with nuclear power. Exactly, Jeremy in Vermont. Rare earth minerals, that's what the Chinese are after in Afghanistan. And they're going to get them, too. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the Israelis have managed to convince much of the world that the Iranians, who have not invaded outside their borders in eons, unless you count the border war with Iraq, which we sort of sponsored the Iraqi side of that. That's where that photograph of a younger Donald Rumsfeld shaking hands with Saddam Hussein while said Rumsfeld is grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush. That's where that picture comes from. That was an agreement. That was a deal to sell lots and lots of weapons to Saddam Hussein because Merca. That, of course, was also back during the heady and glorious reign of St. Ronnie of Raygun.
Well, Mommy, ketchup is a vegetable.
So were you, Ronnie. So were you. And as noted, most of the awful things that are transpiring now in the United States of America can be traced back to that greasy-headed old B-movie actor who got upstaged by chimpanzees. But why are so many people, including most progressive talkers, pissing their pants scared of Iran? Well, like I said, Israel has convinced, and Republicans, who never met a potential war they didn't love as long as somebody else was fighting it, say that the Iranians cannot be trusted with a nuclear weapon because then they would immediately, with their one little fizzling, might work, might not, nuclear weapon, attack Israel, who has more than 200 nuclear weapons. Because, again, the Iranians are, everybody, all together, crazy! Got it? The reality, the nuclear reality, though, is that states seek nuclear capability so that other states will not feel quite so comfortable in steamrolling them. Look, Pakistan has the bomb, and how about that? Their mortal enemy, India, can almost be said to have behaved itself relative to the disputed Kashmiri area. Mm-hmm. And oh, look, North Korea has one. And the North Koreans are far nearer to being crazy than the Iranians ever will be, or at least their leadership. And yet, somehow or another, while they've saber-rattled, they still haven't managed to find a good reason to use their nukes. In fact, the primary use that the North Koreans have for their nukes is to make it clear to their neighbors to the south that no matter how starving their people may be, no matter how falling apart their infrastructure may be, no matter what a miserable autocratic dictator state, pariah state it may be, that it would be in the South Koreans and the United States' best interest not to send any tanks rolling across the border. How about that? Nuclear weapons as a deterrent. What an idea. But I suppose if I'm to be charitable, and this certainly is a thorn in the side, if I'm to be charitable about all of this, I do have to acknowledge that, well, every time you add another country to the nuclear country club, and believe me, this is a seedy country club, that we wanted to keep it nice and white, but then, well, it all went sideways, didn't it? The nuclear country club, we're never sure when the next country that joins it is going to go a little, you know, funny in the head. You know what I mean? Funny. And use one. And then, the way the calculus goes, everybody else has to use theirs. There goes the neighborhood, and we become some sort of ashen cinder hurtling through time and space. One would hope that cooler heads would prevail, but one might also hope in one hand and in the other and see which one fills up first. I mean, it would be nice. It would be nice to sit down and have a conversation with the Iranians and say, "Listen, you know, you're chock-a-block with oil for a good long while yet, relatively speaking. And we understand you want to put that on the market because that's how you support your economy. You have a mono economy. Congratulations. Those suck. But you know, the sun also shines on Iran." And the wind blows across Iran, and there is geothermal energy trapped below Iran. And gosh almighty, the whole wide world would just be thrilled to death to turn you into the world's biggest purveyor of solar energy, because God knows the United States doesn't have enough brains to do that. I mean, really. But at the end of the day, maybe the Iranians do want a weapon. Maybe they don't feel so comfortable having 200 or more nuclear devices conveniently pointed right at their nose by Israel to the West, and having another goodly handful of them pointed right at their nose by Pakistan to the north and east, and having another handful of them pointed at them by India to the south and east, and directly to the south having the serene, royal, noble, majestic graciousness that is the gang of thugs that we like to call the Saudi royal family, having the ability to pinch an American president and get the launch codes like that. I mean, when you consider the neighborhood in that light, I think I might want one too. Because as Pakistan and India have shown each other, having each side have those weapons kind of serves as a deterrent. Mutual assured destruction. Wasn't that what we called it when it was us and the Soviets threatening the well-being of the entire globe with nuclear weapons? Yes, and to a certain extent we still are. Mad. Yeah. So I hope that's at least a little bit of something vaguely resembling an answer, Ron. Irish Dave noting how soon we forget, Bob. Uncle Ray Ray. Fence those tow missiles stolen from the Merkin arsenal via the Israelis. Such a deal. I hadn't forgotten, but I just didn't want to get too far off into the weeds, Irish Dave. Yeah, that scenario, Marty points out. In other words, you're talking about the end of Beneath the Planet of the Apes, if you remember it. I remember it. I remember the weirdos in their robes underground praying to the nuclear missile. I think they were remnant Republicans, don't you? That's right. Just to finish it all out, Irish Dave points out that after he used the Israelis to fence the tow missiles, Uncle Ray Ray then used those ill-gotten gains to finance war crimes in Central America also, too. And by the way, Irish Dave asks, when is Israel going to sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and start letting them UN inspectors into the promised land? How about never? Because that would mean admitting they have them, and this is all a great big bit of sham theater with everybody pretending, what? Israel? Nukes? Well, everybody knows they've got them, but we pretend that they don't. Because if we said they did, the whole region would be destabilized. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, Israel. Interesting story. Not really a thorn. Well, it kind of is. It isn't. It's up to you. This past Sunday, the Israeli Antiquities Authority, which takes its status pretty seriously relative to the fact that the entirety of Israel is one great big archaeological dig, and God knows the Israelis have enough of a job as it is just trying to keep the weirdo fundies out of the pits from going, well, look, there's Joshua's little finger bone. Woo! Yeah. A lot of digs going on in Israel, and there's a lot of fine archaeology done there as well. Diego Barkan, of the Israeli Antiquities Authority, the excavation director of a dig in Tel Aviv, tel meaning hill, lots of tells. Mm-hmm. See, it's more than just a poker term. Well, they were going to build something in Tel Aviv, and lo and behold, they found some old stuff. In this case, and I find this fascinating, they found 5,000-year-old, get this, because I'm such a nerd, and this speaks to two of the things about which I'm nerdiest. They found 5,000-year-old large ceramic basins. Huh. Bathtubs? No. No. The large ceramic basins, which were 5,000 years old, were made in a pottery tradition, and not to get too deep in the weeds on archaeology, and God knows Dr. John could do ever so much better, more justice by this than I. But one of the ways that one learns the age of something, you know, there's radiocarbon dating, there's contextual location of the artifact within the dirt layers of the site itself. But there's also a great deal of scholarship that has gone into how people make pottery. And for that matter, how people make stone points. That's why we know about things like, that's how we know when things like the Aeschylean hand axe was made, or when the Clovis tradition arose in North America. And the same goes for pottery. You can watch pottery styles change and evolve over time. And these pottery pot shards, which came from a great big ceramic basin, are exemplars of an Egyptian pottery tradition that is 5,000 years old. And those pottery basins were used for the brewing of beer. The Egyptians loved their beer. It's one of the sad things about the rise of Islam. The Egyptian beer brewing tradition took a bit of a hit. Don't know why the Prophet Muhammad hated beer so much, and wine and anything else alcoholic. It's one of those things he and Joseph Smith have in common. Strong drink. And, you know, Joseph Smith got worked up about hot drinks. And that's one thing, you know, in Egypt, when you're brewing beer, it's all going to be warm, hot beer. What did Jimmy Buffett say in Cheeseburger in Paradise? Warm beer and bread, they said, could raise the dead, but it reminds me of the menu at a Holiday Inn. Warm beer is kind of tough if you know what cold beer is like. But then again, if you don't, well, it's just all warm beer, isn't it? But 5,000 years ago, Egyptians were brewing beer in what is now Tel Aviv. Diego Barkan remarked, "This is the northernmost evidence we have of an Egyptian presence in the early Bronze Age. Beer was the Egyptian national drink and was a staple along with bread." By the way, for those of you who are beerophiles, Egyptian beer was made from a mixture of barley and water, and that mixture was partially baked and then left to ferment in the sun, which is really not that far off from the current brewing process. Because, see, after you've crushed the barley and added the water to it, if you don't know the science of yeast, well, you do learn some things rather quickly. When you raise the temperature of the liquid, which is called a wort, W-O-R-T, when you raise the temperature of the wort and hold it at a certain temperature for long enough, the sugars inside the barley break down. And then, when it cools, the wild airborne yeasts will go to work on it. And the little yeasts love sugar, and they eat sugar, and they piss alcohol, and they fart carbon dioxide. That's yeast. And, you know, we're just, that's part of the natural process in which we participate. I mean, come on. Honey is bee vomit, okay? We might as well come to terms with the word. Yeah, sure. And, you know, sometimes the Egyptians would add some bee vomit to their yeast excrement. And, good, hey, Grandpa, what's for supper? Honey, concentrated fruits, you know, dates, yeah. Date beer, right? Yeah. Unfermented grapes added to the beer, right? Well, what's this got to do with, well, see, the Israeli claim to the right to be Israel is predicated upon a book they say gives them title to the property, because their invisible friend gave them title back a long, long time ago. The guy the invisible friend gave title to was a fellow named Abram, who later had to change his name to Abraham. Right. A lot of name changing going on in the Bible. Jacob and Esau, brothers, grandsons of Abraham. Jacob screwed up and had to take it on the lamb, and he changed his name to Israel. Hey, you seen that Jacob guy? Nope. Never saw him. Name's Israel. Oh, well, go about your business, Israel. Yeah. Maybe that was after he and his tribe committed the slaughter at Shechem for no good reason. But never mind. Getting kind of far afield. Here's what's interesting. All that business about Abraham getting title to the land from the invisible friend, that happens about 1400 BCE. Yeah, which would be 3,400 years ago. It's during a time of great upheaval. It's during a time of change in Egypt. It's also during the time that the Minoan Empire collapsed as a result of the massive eruption of the volcano at Thera, which is now known as Santorini, and is about one-third of the island it used to be. Up until then, the Minoans had pretty much kept everything in check with a naval trade, I guess we'd call it empire, although we really don't know enough to call it an empire. But they had trade outposts on the Levant and on the African coast. Right. And that's where we get the Theseus and the Minotaur myth. Well, it's about that same time period when Abram gets title to what is now Israel from the Invisible Friend. No, no, it's mine. It's mine. Yeah, it's all this land. It's ours. Yeah, how? Guy gave it to me. Who? God? Yeah, where's he live? Oh, you can't see him. Oh, right! Here's why this story's interesting. Tel Aviv was Egyptian property as of 5,000 years ago. Roughly another 1,500 years before Abraham ever claimed title to that chunk of desert wasteland. Yeah, see? Mm-hmm. What's fascinating is when you realize that, and this is what makes American Fundies, which takes us back to Talibandiana. I don't just do things. This is what makes Fundies so idiotic. Because in point of fact, Fundies believe that the Old Testament and the New Testament are all just the literal word inerrant of the Invisible Friend. And that's how they calculate that the world is about the same age as the Egyptian beer recipe. Or maybe a little younger. Ancient aliens, baby. But in point of fact, anybody who knows anything at all about the Bible knows that the Old Testament was committed to writing in about 500 BCE during the... Ha-ha! Wait a minute! During the Persian captivity. Ancient grudges. Eventually, Cyrus, the... Persian king of kings, he was an Achaemenid, would let the Hebrews go. The children of Judah. And there was a cultural kerfuffle among the priestly class, who always want power, and the ordinary people who had it. And that is where... And look, the priestly class can write now. And so they sit down and they write this long and involved story, and it's Moses and blah, 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 and Genesis and Abram. And the Abraham story comes from the pen of the priests who want to establish their power and make it a condition precedent to the Mosaic story. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's also in there. That's where you get all the laws about not eating shellfish, and not wearing clothes that are polydacron cotton blends, because the Invisible Friend will strike you dead, or have the elders drag you outside the city gates and stone you to death. Right. Well, there it is. See, this is the beautiful part of the horn. All the different meanings people take from it. News Ninja Carol Baker pointing out, I can finally assign a gender to yeast. If it burps, farts, and pisses, it's male. And absolutely, and the little guys do so with wild abandon, and bless them for it, because that's how we get beer and wine and mead. And because of wine and mead, we get things like the Iliad and the Odyssey. And, oh, you know, Beowulf. Took me a minute. Grendel, I remember. Beowulf had to reach for that one. And so here are these fundies who don't understand a lick about the document that they worship. And that's how you wind up. That's how we wind up this Thorn in the Side Thursday in, of all places, well, of course, why not, Georgistan. It comes from the story comes from a CNN piece by Gary Tuchman, who interviewed a florist in Georgia named Melissa Jeffcoat.
Mm-hmm.
And here's one of the fun. I had no idea that Georgia had a county named Jeff Davis County. But son of a gun, they do. Yep, they've got a county named after the treasonous president of the Confederacy. Go figure. So there in Jeff Davis County, CNN's intrepid reporter Gary Tuchman found Melissa Jeffcoat, a florist, and wanting to be kind of edgy and point out some ripe and really smelly hypocrisy, CNN intrepid reporter Gary Tuchman asked Melissa Jeffcoat, florist, whether she, as a Christian, would ever serve as florist for a wedding between two men or two women. So when she said, well, no, in the name of Jesus, of course not. And he said, well, okay then, would you provide flowers to a pair of former adulterers who were getting married? And she said, well, sure. Gary Tuchman then asked her, well, would you provide flowers to a couple who had dishonored their parents? Why, absolutely. So then, because you cannot... that's true, Ron. That is true. That is very true indeed. Ron pointing out, Bob, you forgot Gilgamesh. Well, I also forgot Sargon and Ashurbanipal, Nebuchadnezzar. But, yeah, it's an exhaustive list. But the Epic of Gilgamesh, yeah, we probably get that out of beer, too. And various other hallucinogens. Or hallucinogens. Beer's not really a hallucinogen. Anyway, Melissa Jeffcoat, Christian, said, well, I wouldn't serve nobody who was gay because that's just a different kind of sin to me. I guess they have to keep these packages, that's what they're called, packages, within a certain time parameter. Otherwise, he could have asked her if she would provide flowers to disobedient children, you know, because they're supposed to be taken, according to that late Bronze Age document, they're supposed to be taken outside the city gates and stoned to death. Hey, Ms. Jeffcoat, would you provide flowers to somebody who done ate some shrimp and oysters and crab meat and stuff? Because that'll get you thrown out of the tribe clan group too. And then there's them. If the bride is wearing anything but pure 100% fabric, say, oh, I don't know, a fabric made from hammered flax. Oh, that's going to be pretty. Or silk, or wool wedding dresses. They were all the rage, but no, they weren't really, because it was all just a property transfer anyway. But, well, of course, because that homosexual, and that's just a different kind of sin. At which point, apparently, Melissa Jeffcoat's boy, Carlton Jeffcoat, steps in and says, I serve a God who's higher than any Supreme Court judge that's called the judge of the universe. I don't care what anybody else says, and my mama is right. And Carol Baker, you're absolutely right. The scriptures are pretty clear on this. No sin is worse than another. It's all sin. But not to a fundy. Because sin, to a fundy, sin is in the eyes of the beholder. Now, they might sit there at Friday night, all-you-can-eat fried shrimp night down to the Golden Corral and not feel like they need to go home and fall upon their knees, not vomiting into the toilet, mind you, because it was Golden Corral, but fall upon their knees and ask the forgiveness for their loving and gracious God. But, Lordy, if a table over, there's some obvious Homer sectionals, eating butterfly fried frozen shrimp and a holding hands while doing it. Oh, I tell you what, you might want to move two or three tables over because the Lord God of hosts might just send a lightning bolt down and pssst, or make one of them homos choke on a shrimp tail. If you can, I was going to say if you can figure them out, good luck, but we've got them figured out. It's just, what do you do about them? Because they've got the First Amendment there that protects their bigotry. And frankly, that's what the First Amendment is in 2015, in the second half of the second decade of the 21st century. It's a life support system for the religion industry and a life support system for the most repugnant bigotry. Do we ever wonder why I'm not on some national network somewhere? There, that. Because I said it. The First Amendment works as long as religion is personal. But once it is used to prop up religion as an institutional market-based thing, it ceases protecting and starts assaulting. Yeah. And by the way, goodbye, Melissa Jeffcoat. Just so that we've got a good working definition of fundamentalism. Understand that what I just said is heresy. You want proof? Well, I think Neil deGrasse Tyson has about a Google more, I don't know, Avogadro's number more Twitter followers than I. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Bob Kincaid, and you're more than welcome to do so. I even sometimes follow back when I actually know what I'm doing. Neil deGrasse Tyson is in a kerfuffle because Neil deGrasse Tyson took it upon himself to rewrite the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, which, incidentally, in its 1950s version, is not the Pledge of Allegiance as it was originally written because the Congress rewrote it. But the Congress can rewrite it, and Neil deGrasse Tyson, who isn't nearly as white as the Congress was in the 1950s, can't. Neil deGrasse Tyson said, if the Pledge of Allegiance told the truth, it would read like this. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the divided states of America and to the pacts for which it stands, one nation at odds, divisible, with liberty and justice for some. And in point of fact, Neil deGrasse Tyson's rendition of the Pledge of Allegiance is a much closer reflection of current reality than anything that is actually in the pledge. First of all, understanding, and we all do because the Horn Family Commune congregation is way out in front on a lot of this stuff. Under God was never in the pledge until a bunch of anti-communist, flipped out right-wing weirdos led by the Knights of Columbus got it stuck in there in the 1950s. That'll show them commies! Right? So, Neil deGrasse Tyson got himself in a flame war. Sean M. Davis said, have your PR firm's interns, assistant, delete your account. Neon Taster said, hey, remember when you used to do sciencey stuff? That was cool. Then there was R.B. Pundit who said, shut the fuck up. And then at Eric B. 1980, Eric Bishop said, hey, Neil, the door's right over there. Head on out any minute now, fuckwit. Woo! Mark, love it or leave it. How? And then there was Jack in New York City who is at Talk Radio 200. And he, as if Neil Tyson knows anything about telling the truth. You believe in that? Climate change. And at Randy Shannon said, please, find a rocket, get on board, and leave this planet. And at Philip G76, he's right worked up. Oh, shut up already! Shut up! Shut up, I'm baiting! Oh, shut up already! If you hate this country so much, leave. You have conned enough money out of ignorant people to leave. Grammar? Syntax? Nah. Shut up! So, me with my little history lesson. Marty pointing out, you know, I don't think Odin would care about any of this stuff. Nah, he doesn't. Kevin in Colorado Springs wants to take a run at Ron's earlier question, Ron and Raleigh's. Answering any question like Ron's with one of these two you can answer any question like Ron's with one of these two answers. One, because money, or two, Israel. Should suffice to satisfy almost any Republican, and sadly, a good number of Democrats as well. If there's still a question to be asked after answering a question like Ron and Raleigh's just posed, then just reply by saying, Muslim, and that should definitely satisfy anyone's curiosity about why we are interfering in foreign affairs that we have no business interjecting ourselves into. Bingo. Note from Tim from L.A., Abrahamic rule and today's Christians. Bob, funny thing, the Christians who criticize you for telling Christians that they need to follow the rules you mentioned no longer need to, because tomorrow Jesus died and raised from the dead this Sunday is the new covenant, so Christians can eat shellfish and wear two types of material, yada, yada, yada. Yet, after Talibandiana passed the religious right law, it allows business owners to discriminate against LGBTs because it's a sin according to their God. But wait, didn't the death and resurrection of Christ erase all this and homosexuality, which according to the Abrahamic laws was overturned because Jesus' blood erased all the rules God created? This is why Christianity is bullshit. Oh, and at church we're having an Easter egg hunt. Nice, nice. David in San Francisco pointed out to me that there's a lovely Easter celebration to be had out there. I'd love to be in San Francisco in April. I bet it's positively lovely, and it looks like it's just going to be a real hoot. I think toward the end of the afternoon they have a Studley Jesus Hot Mary competition. Whoa, dude! Yeah, and oh, and by the way, the woman in Jeff Davis County, what, Edith, huh? In Jeff Davis County, Georgia, who says that homosexuality is just a different kind of sin. Yeah, I'll tell you what kind of different kind of sin it is. All those things that Gary Tuchman asked her about are stuff out of the Ten Commandments. You know, the list that they want put on every school, courthouse, Walmart, what have you, maybe tattooed on the forehead of every newborn infant. Right. The homosexuality stuff, not in the Ten Commandments. Although I'm sure somebody who's studying to be a Southern Baptist minister could probably figure out a way to shoehorn it in there somewhere, right? So here endeth the, well, it's not the end by any stretch of the imagination, but that's enough of the filibuster. That's the end of the filibuster, and we will open the phone lines. We will engage in conversation. You know the numbers, right? Harold is 304-574-8178. We also call that the Skype line, but it confuses people, so we just call it Harold. And Maud, also known as the Gizmo Line, is 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN. Skype to Skype is simply Bob Kincaid Horn. If you're already hooked up with me as a, as contacts or friends or whatever one is on Skype. Okay? Yeah. And by the way, we still have Gary's $75 Thorn in the Side, Thorn in the Side Thursday challenge on the table. No responses as yet. It would be nice to have them so that we can finish the week good. We're trying to raise $215 this evening, and the first 75 get doubled courtesy of Gary. So if you want to double your money, get in now. If you're okay with it just being what it is, wait until 75 bucks more has showed up and we've met Gary's challenge. No, let's just get this done. Carol Baker pointing out, you know, Bob, religious persecution is profitable, though. Persecution Pizza has just hit the 100K mark on their Go Fleece Me from the Flock. Oh, my God. And this, and again, there's your market-based dynamic. You've got a bunch of some weirdo Christians in Talibandiana who try to jump, you know, they wanted to get out in the front of the bigotry line, and lo and behold, we've had to temporarily close down because of the threats we've received from the homos. They've told us they're going to come over here and order pizza, but really all they're going to do is sing show tunes. Yeah. Violent. Yeah, you know how the gay community is. So violent. So light up the phones if you want to. Light up anything else you want to as well. Fine by me. Yep. And hey, Sunday really is Easter. And I always, this time of year, every year, I play my favorite Easter song and my favorite Easter my favorite Easter homily. So we'll take a break. Come back to your calls, or else more of me filibustering. Either way, we'll be back. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I was over in Australia during Easter, which was interesting. Interesting to note they celebrate Easter the same way we do, commemorating the death and resurrection of Jesus by telling our children a giant bunny rabbit left chocolate eggs in the night. Now, I wonder why we're fucked up as a race. Anybody got any clues out there? Or where do you get this shit from, you know? Why those two things, you know? Why not goldfish left Lincoln Logs in your sock drawer, you know? As long as we're making shit up, go hog wild, you know? At least a goldfish with a Lincoln Log on its back going across your floor to your sock drawer has a miraculous connotation to it. Mummy, I woke up today and there was a Lincoln Log in my sock drawer. That's the story of Jesus. Who comes up with this shit? I've read the Bible. I can't find the word bunny or chocolate anywhere in that fucking book.
Thursday, April 2nd, 2015.
We're in a historic drought,
and that demands unprecedented action.
First ever mandatory water restrictions announced in drought-stricken California.
You can tell people not to water the lawn and don't wash the car, but 80% of the usage is agricultural.
But no cuts for the state's powerful agriculture industry. Another offshore drilling tragedy in the Gulf of Mexico. Plus,
the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee heard warnings today that a coal-burning society may be making things hot for itself.
35 years ago this week, even Walter Cronkite warned us about global warming.
And that's the way it was. All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
It's going to affect golf courses, people's lawns, universities, campuses, all sorts of institutions.
But not farmers or frackers. Am I right, Governor Brown? This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, big news out here in California, but before we get to that main story today, bad news once again out of the Gulf of Mexico.
Yes, unfortunately, more fossil fuel deaths. At least 4 people were killed and dozens injured when a fire broke out on an offshore drilling platform owned by Mexico's state oil company. But the state oil company says that at least they were able to prevent an oil spill.
4 deaths, but at least we're not going to be looking at another BP Deepwater Horizon disaster all summer long.
That's right. Now on to our main story, reality bites California.
We're standing on dry grass, and we should be standing in 5 feet of snow.
In a dramatic press conference atop a snowless Sierra Nevada mountain, following officials announcing a new record-low snowpack, California Governor Jerry Brown this week ordered mandatory water restrictions for cities and towns across California to reduce their water usage by 25%.
We're in an historic drought, and that demands unprecedented action. For that reason, I'm issuing an executive order mandating substantial water reduction across our state.
Now, although the new restrictions were hailed as a good beginning, critics noted that it covers only urban users, which account for only 15% of the state's water. No cuts in water use will be required from the state's biggest water user, the powerful agriculture industry, which draws 80% of the state's water. And yes, global warming has amplified and intensified this historic drought. According to NASA scientist Ben Cook on CNN, he says it's only going to get worse.
And the problem is that we expect with global warming in the coming decades and next century that, you know, these droughts are going to come probably a little bit more often. They're probably going to be a little bit more severe. And because there's so many people now in these regions, it's going to be that much more impactful.
You know, Desi, we have been reporting on these problems for now more than 6 years here on the Green News Report. We have been warning about what was coming. I had always thought somewhere in my brain that, you know, the worst sort of long-term impacts would be felt first in places like Florida, the East Coast, where the sea levels were rising and...
And storm damage is more severe.
Correct, but for the sustained damage. And now, ironically enough, out here in California, we seem to be on the very front bleeding edge of this climate crisis, as our state is now going through this unprecedented drought, and we are being forced to take unprecedented actions. Kind of ironic, given the fact that the state has been among the best in the country when it comes to environmental issues.
Yeah, and you know, what's sad is that scientists have been warning about these impacts for decades, and the climate change denial industry has been blocking action for decades. To give you an idea of just how long they've been blocking action, 35 years ago this week, in 1980, CBS News anchor Walter Cronkite warned America about global warming.
Well, that's impossible. I thought that all the scientists were warning about global cooling back in the late 70s and 80s to hear the deniers tell it. Of course, they weren't. More scientists were warning about warming than cooling, barring at least one sensational magazine cover back in the 70s. But even then, the clarion call was quite clear. We're going to play it out with this extended excerpt from that 1980 report by CBS News and Walter Cronkite, unearthed by journalist Peter Dykstra of DailyClimate.org, a report that we should have listened to 35 years ago this week. See video of the entire report and the rest of the stories we covered today at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
The Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee heard warnings today that a coal-burning society may be making things hot for itself.
Researchers say increasingly large amounts of CO2 are accumulating in the atmosphere. They fear the Earth will gradually become warmer, causing as yet uncertain but possibly disruptive changes in the Earth's climate. If the Earth gets too warm, for example, ice caps could melt, raising the level of the seas.
Changes of this magnitude are very probably going to have a profound effect on agriculture, on all aspects of energy use and generation, and on water and land use.
One scientist put the urgency of the greenhouse potential in biblical terms, citing the warning given to Noah in the Old Testament. Noah knew trouble was coming, he said, and he prepared for it. Nelson Benton, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Yeah, I think I'm positively misty-eyed. 16 minutes past the hour. Yeah, I don't want to work something, overwork it or work it too hard, but there it was, April 1980. The primaries were underway. Jimmy Carter was trying to get reelected, and a greasy-haired old B-movie actor was edging his way to the forefront toward the Republican nomination. And because he wasn't as weird and paranoid right off the bat like Nixon was, people thought, well, he must love America. He's going to be hard on the Soviets, and we'll probably start a war with Iran to get our hostages back. Because that's what we need to do, America. It really does. The handle gets jiggled, and the swirling starts, and we head right down the drain with the arrival of Saint Ronnie of Raygun. Man, that 666 in his name begins to look more and more logical, doesn't it? Yeah. This is the Horn, Thorn in the Side Thursday, 17 minutes past the hour in the second hour of the program. Lines open, and of course, plenty of room for more filibobstering. So where was all of that? All of that, the last filibobster, the whole hour's filibobster, was geared toward this. We haven't heard from Elizabeth Hasselbeck in a while. Maybe it would be better if we didn't hear from her at all. But it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, so we've got to deal with the thorns. It can't all be roses. Right? Yeah. Well, here we go. Back to Talibandiana. Hockey puck? Anyone? Haven't had a hockey puck warning this evening. Hockey puck, duct tape, please.
Well, the heat continues out in Indiana this morning, and Governor Mike Pence not backing down to pressure, saying that the new religion from the religious freedom law is not about discrimination. He says he's standing up for religious rights. He's going to be on our show in a little bit. But he also penned a piece in the Wall Street Journal, and an opinion piece, and he says this: I want to make clear to Hoosiers and every American that despite what critics and many in the national media have asserted, the law is not a license to discriminate either in Indiana or elsewhere. But that hasn't stopped businesses from saying they're going to pull out of Indiana, and other states saying we don't want anyone traveling to Indiana from our state.
Yeah, Connecticut actually saying that they're going to boycott state-sponsored travel there, even though they have a law that's quite similar and reflective of the 1993 law signed by Bill Clinton. He also mentioned this, which I thought was interesting. And by the way, we're going to actually talk to...
By the way, when Elizabeth Hasselbeck starts auctioneer talking, that's when you know she's lying. Have you noticed all of a sudden the right wing is in love with Bill Clinton? Oh, Bill Clinton did just the same thing. Oh, Bill Clinton, federal law, 1993. Oh, Bill Clinton. You'd never know that they hated his damn guts for 8 solid years. You'd never know that Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, ran, I think it may have been America's first reality program. Let's find Clinton's penis. No, you'd never know that, would you? No.
The governor here, right on Fox and Friends, in an exclusive just after 8 a.m., and hear what he has to say. You mentioned this earlier, Clayton, that he said, look, if I were in a restaurant and someone said that they weren't going to serve a couple mm-hmm. because they were gay, I'd walk out.
See, that's the problem. He did say that. Mike Pence did. But that's just libertarianism. He'd walk out. He'd show them. And then he might tell his friends. And maybe they would maybe walk out someday, too. Kind of, sort of. Because the free market! Whereas the purpose of governing is actually to enact laws to solve problems. But Mike Pence is beholden to the birthers and deathers and ninthers and tenthers and baggers and booger eaters and birchers, libertarians, repig lickens. And so he can't say that government can actually solve a problem. Government can only respond to noisy pluralities and pass laws about things that weren't a problem in the first place. By the way, that Religious Freedom Restoration Act, do you remember the other night when we talked about the woman also in Talibandiana who's going to do 20 to 50 for having a miscarriage? And you remember how I noted that the law that was the under which she was prosecuted was actually put in place to defend women, pregnant women who were the victims of crime? Yeah. Well, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act is a little like that, too. Because the Religious Freedom Restoration Act was a response to a governmental law enforcement freakout, among other things, over native religious practices. And it was also designed to protect Native American access to sacred sites, which, of course, as we all know, have a nasty habit of turning into things like mines, which then prevent said native peoples from being able to perform and observe their religious practices at said sites. In other words, something that was meant to defend a very, very vulnerable minority has been turned into a sledgehammer by a very noisy majority. Not that Elizabeth Hasselbeck or either of the goobers to her left and right are ever going to bring that up. Saying.
Right. He also said that I try to abide by the law of the Bible, saying, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, really explaining there, but it hasn't stopped.
Right, because, you know, and he would. He doesn't want any homo florists bringing him flowers. And so he promises he won't bring any flowers to any homos. Do unto others.
So many people from coming out and slamming the state right. and slamming the governor, calling them bigots.
Exactly. The political left is in a frenzy over this right now. But
the political left. Yeah, because the LGBTQQQ community, that's your to the barricades. You have nothing to lose but your chains, commies. There, yeah, big gay. That's what proud son of Stanford, Brian Fisher of the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan calls it, big gay. Really big day. Big, big day. Big, big gay. You know, there's a parody there somewhere if I sat down with time to write it. Yeah. But anyway, back to the idiots.
You're missing the point. This is not a bill that it discriminates against gays or anybody. It's all about religious freedom. And you were talking about companies that have come out.
Okay, let's examine that a minute. It's a bill about religious freedom. Can anyone, right, left, center, anarcho-syndicalist, whatever, cite even a single... This is kind of like how voter ID laws are laws to prevent voter fraud. What do I mean by that? Well, consider. Most states that have enacted voter ID laws say they did so in order to prevent voter fraud. And yet, when called upon to provide anything resembling voter fraud in their state, we don't have any. They haven't had any. Oh, so you're preventing pre-crime. Exactly. You know, another few years or so, then it's going to get to where you can't tell the Americans from the brown people, and they're just going to be voting all over the place. Yeah, precisely, Gerald, the voter fraud that doesn't really exist. And the same with religious freedom. Because you cannot, it is impossible to cite me a single instance of anyone, any group, anywhere in Talibandiana that has kept a single solitary human being, or a whole group of them for that matter, from being able to enter a church. Not just on a Sunday, sometimes on a Saturday. Wednesdays. Camp meetings that run all week long. Nope, not a one. So if this is a bill about religious freedom, then it's a bill about something that isn't in danger. I mean, we've had some religious freedom cases in this country. Back in the 1940s, the Jehovah's Witnesses didn't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and the Supreme Court of the United States said, and you know what? They don't have to. Then later on, some Native people said, well, you know, we get in touch with the spirit world by virtue of hallucinogens. And the court system said, can't do that. Sorry. And then there's the whole hissy we had, was it the 1990s, over Santeria in South Florida? Poor chickens. Can't do that either. But those two were oppressed religious minorities. But nobody's keeping the Baptists from going to their strange little cult-like churches. Nobody's keeping the Methodists out. Nobody's burning John Wesley in effigy. The Presbyterians seem to be doing just fine, thank you very much, in Talibandiana. There haven't been any anti-Catholic pogroms there in a while. Granted, if you're Jewish in Talibandiana, you might be a little bit worried because, well, it has the single largest Klan population in the United States. But, well, you get the point. The point is that over at Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, they are, I don't want to put too fine a point, liars. Tim from L.A. asking, so does this mean I can go to Talibandiana, become a believer in the Native American belief and ingest peyote and shrooms, religious rites? Yep, it does. The First Church of Sacred Cannabis has filed papers in the state of Talibandiana, which were accepted by the Secretary of State. And they have declared that cannabis is their sacrament. And while they will not grow it, distribute it, sell it, or buy it, the First Church of Cannabis will be open and welcoming to anybody who wants to blaze up a number right there in the sanctuary during the singing of Just As I Am. Or maybe during the singing of Smoke on the Water. Right. Yeah. Oh, back to the liars.
Apparently, Angie's List says we're not going to expand our headquarters in Indianapolis.
Eli Lilly, one of the biggest employers in Indiana.
Apple, Tim Cook, the guy who runs that, came out and said that this law is bad for gays. But then there was an item I just saw online that said, okay, they can say that, and yet Apple still sells iPhones in countries where they execute people for being homosexual.
Right, because that's exactly the same thing. Not enough liquor. I'm telling you, not enough liquor. Okay, let's be honest. No liquor at all, which makes this even more painful. Really? Apple iPhones are sold in countries where they kill gay people? Tim Cook, you hypocrite, you. So I'm trying to sort out what Steve Ducey says here. Is he saying that Talibandiana should be permitted to expand on bigotry against gay folk up to the point where they decide to start killing gay people, and that's all right? You know, sometimes doing the program, I think a little peyote might help.
This law can be used to defend oneself, and you can say, look, I am a Muslim, I'm serving in the military, I want to grow a beard. And then they can say, well, you know, and there's this law on the books, so, you know, will you hear my case?
No, because Talibandiana, no matter how much you would like for it to be Steve Ducey, is not in charge of the United States military. Notice how he played the Muslim card, though, right away.
Yeah, Marveline, I was right there with old Steve Ducey until he started talking about how Muslims need to grow beards. I don't know about him anymore, but that Elizabeth Hasselbeck, she sure is a cutie. Yeah, my goodness gracious. Makes my withered old member jump like a snake in a microwave, huh? What are you up to right now, Marveline?
That's the way it's supposed to be used. Whereas it can't be used by somebody who says, okay, we're a same-sex couple, we're going to a baker, we're asking them to bake the cake, and then the baker can't use this law to say, well, there's that law on the book that says I don't have to make one because it's against my law. It's against what I believe in. It has never been used, to the best of the knowledge of the stuff we've read in Indianapolis, and Indiana, the state itself, but nonetheless, the political left is in hysterics saying it's anti-gay. It is not anti-gay. It is about religious freedom, clearly.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly. You know, I was reading a story just earlier today about some folks driving south out of Gary, and there they were. They were lined up for miles and miles as far as the eye could see. It was Marcus Licinius Crassus after the Spartacus Rebellion, all over again. All kinds of Christians, all the way down the highway, just all of them. Had that sign over top of their heads, INRI, I'm nailed right in. Mm-hmm, they sure did, because it's about religious liberty, because the Christians are being persecuted in Talibandiana. By the way, I had occasion to be walking through Wally World yesterday. Don't hate me. Couldn't be helped. It's one of those little communities in West Virginia where if you don't go to Wally World, you don't go buy food. And we were buying a little food. You may have seen the picture online on my Facebook page of the little asparagus, strawberry, lemon vinaigrette salad that I put together. It was yummy. You know, sometimes there doesn't have to be meat involved. Quick, easy, delicious, gracious sakes, it was good. Goodness gracious, it's good. Tennessee Ernie Ford for, what was it, Martha White Flour? Was that the tagline? Goodness gracious, it's good. But we happened to be walking through there, Margie and I, when we saw a T-shirt had the sort of blocky square cross on it, and it said lifeguard, and then around it said my lifeguard walks on water. And I immediately looked at Margie and I said, yeah, but he can't swim for beans because the water keeps going through the holes in his hands and he doesn't get enough resistance to propel him forward. See, there I was, persecuting the Christians. Granted, there weren't any Christians around, but yeah, right. You can't say anything bad about them because that's the same thing as nailing them right up.
Mm-hmm. Basically separate and just put something in the books to protect discrimination based on sexual orientation.
They don't have that law.
Maybe we'll ask the
governor. That's what Charles Krauthammer said. He said, there's a simple way to answer this. Simply pass an anti-discrimination law that would cover it, and then you'd be off the hook for this.
We'll be talking to the governor about it.
Yeah, let's do talk to the governor about it, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, but let's observe something, too. If you pass the non-discrimination ordinance, law, what have you, that says you cannot discriminate against somebody for sexual orientation or gender, then you've taken the reason for this bill right out of existence. Because this law does enshrine discrimination. It is that plain. It is that obvious. Because its purpose, maybe I don't even need to explain this. Maybe we already know this, but maybe we can just nod our little heads in agreement. This whole thing, these things are, and it's no accident. This is not a boating accident. Every one of these damn stupid laws have been introduced in these damn stupid states as a result of the homos are getting married. And so this was designed to protect the poor, upstanding, godly, Bible-believing Christians from having to provide flyers and wedding cakes and cupcakes and cookies and punch and shit to them heathen homo weddings. No gay marriage, no religious freedom bill. And so when the origin of something is in a group's objection to the extension of a civil right, then by definition, the law becomes tainted with that bigotry. And so if you pass, and so with the non-discrimination, no, it loses its teeth. And wait, could this be a blessing? An Easter miracle? Because Arkenstan done signed, the Asa Hutchinson down there done signed one because the Walton heirs told him to, and he does what the Walton heirs tell him to. They passed him, didn't they, Haley? They passed him a non-discrimination addendum. So now the teabaggers are hauling, that Asa Hutchinson, he ain't nothing but a rhino! A Republican in name only. He's about halfway to being as liberal as Edward M. Kennedy. That's how liberal that Asa Hutchinson is. Because he won't stand with Jesus against the gay. Big gay. Big bad gay. Right.
Today, just after 8 a.m.
Because the lawmakers out in Indiana said they're going to do some tweaking on the law to make it better.
Oh, I bet the Indiana legislature does some tweaking. Do they even know? Thank you, Goddess of Irony. Thank you. All right.
To quell the problems that have flared up on the political left, so maybe that's what they're going to do. We will keep you posted.
Yeah.
Well, you heard the liberal bullies slamming Indiana's religious freedom law. Up next,
liberal bullies. I'll give you such a pinch. Liberal bullies.
Indiana's Governor Mike Pence fires back. It's a Fox and Friends exclusive you don't want to miss.
That's right. Here to respond to the critics in a Fox and Friends exclusive interview is Governor Mike Pence. Governor, we thank you for being with us today. Certainly
thank
in
you.
The bullseye right now of a storm of attack calling this law discriminatory. Is it?
It's not. I signed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act last week because I support religious liberty. This is a law that mirrors what President Clinton signed into law in 1993.
Liar. your God will send you to hell for lying. No, he won't. Jesus will forgive him that lie. It doesn't mirror it. Mirror it means it is an exact image in reverse of, no, it, well, maybe it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Because the Talibandiana law does things that the 1993 federal law didn't do. And you know what? The Indiana law isn't designed to protect oppressed minorities, religious minorities. It's designed to allow the religious majority to use their faith like a cudgel.
And is the law, either by statute or court decisions, in some 30 states around America? And really, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act is simply a framework for courts to balance the various interests of citizens in a way that respects our nation's strong and longstanding commitment to the importance of religious liberty.
And there's some Republicans in the legislature there in Indiana, and you have also said that if we need to tweak this law or clarify this law, that you would do so. How specifically would you clarify and adjust the law?
Well, let me say first and foremost that, you know, I stand by this law, but I understand that the way that some on the left and frankly some in the national media have mischaracterized this law over the last week might make it necessary for us to clarify the law through legislation. And
liar, man, if that bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky was real, he'd be a greasy spot. If there's going to be clarification of this law, it's because Mike Pence is a Republican and Talibandiana has money flowing out of it like a mighty river. Angie's List, Eli Lilly, a whole bunch of other folks. Mayor of Seattle said no city funds can be used for travel to Indiana. Mayor of Connecticut, no state funds may be used for travel to Indiana. What happens when California does that? Or New York? Yeah, it gets real, real fast. Because unless somebody's making you go to Talibandiana, there's no real reason to go there. I learned from Kurt Vonnegut that Indianapolis, at least at the time he was writing, was the largest Midwestern or the largest city or something at the time that didn't have a major river running through it or near it. I mean, really, unless you're into racing or maybe, you know, you got to go there for a football game or maybe a minor league baseball game, I want there. So, no, this is because the business community is... Well, he knows. He just didn't think that the business community would take it quite as badly as they have.
We were working through the day and late into the night last night with legislative leaders to consider ways to do that. Because, look, there is no license to discriminate in this law. For my part, I abhor discrimination, like every other Hoosier.
Here comes the libertarian horse shit.
I don't think anyone should ever be mistreated because of who they
are. Wait, stop. Oh, this is precious.
Late into the night last night with legislative leaders to consider ways to do that. Because, look, there is no license to discriminate in this law. For my part, I abhor discrimination, like every other Hoosier. I don't.
Like every other Hoosier, he abhors discrimination. Every other Hoosier. There is no Hoosier who supports discrimination. And pizza lady or pizza guy has put the lie to him before it even comes out of his mouth. But never mind pizza, dude. Because really, what self-respecting gay couple would cater their wedding with shitty pizza? What about the Klan? Aren't there a whole bunch of Hoosier Klansmen? They support discrimination. I think your every other Hoosier line there, Mike, just fell flat on its Hoosier face.
I don't think anyone should ever be mistreated because of who they are or who they love. And the intention of this law was really to give our courts an indication.
Well, wait then. That should be any. Well, if there were actually journalists on the other side of this thing. Oh, so then you don't want anybody to be discriminated against because of who they love. So you're okay with marriage equality then. I didn't say that.
Indiana, the same framework that we have in all 50 states in our federal courts and in some 30 other states,
sure,
to be able to review cases where religious liberty is infringed upon, but there is no license to discriminate, and there.
But the thing is, this law does not change the First Amendment. If religious liberty is infringed upon, oh, wait, there's the problem. The First Amendment guarantees that if religious liberty is infringed upon by any arm of government, now, once upon a time, the First Amendment did not apply to the states, but it does now via the 12th Amendment. 14th Amendment. Well, what? Never mind. Due process, equal protection. It applies to the states. It applies to counties. It applies to cities, municipalities, public service water districts. Right? What it doesn't apply to is private conduct. And so, consequently, this is what they came up with in the halls of power of the weirdo right wing. They were going to create bigotry as a protected class so that if a person said, I am being discriminated against, and complained to the government, the government could not intervene on behalf of the person being discriminated against. Bigots became a protected class.
There's never any intention in this law,
sure,
to give businesses permission to deny services to individuals,
Governor,
on the basis of who they care about.
Governor, would you take it one step further and support a law that would make it illegal to discriminate based on someone's sexual orientation?
And here's the rub.
Well,
it starts with Will, because he knows it's Fox, and he knows all the fundies are watching. And he knows the weird old, the weirdo little evangelical fundamentalists are watching. And he knows that the word rhino is hanging on their spittle-covered lips. Well,
let me say that's not been my position. It's not been the position of the state of Indiana. But if the legislature brought that up, they can certainly have that debate. But let me say this issue.
In other words, not on your life, Elizabeth Hasselbeck. I am a bigot. I do discriminate. I don't think that people should be protected from being fired because of their sexual orientation or their gender. Eh? See how it works? Ooh, yeah. See, now we're into George Snuffleupagus land all over again. That was a simple yes or no question. Well, which is neither yes nor no. But it is certainly more no than yes.
The issue today is, for me, first about religious liberty, but it's also about really clarifying.
And you know, the homos don't have no religion. Right.
What we've done.
You ever notice that? In all this religious liberty talk, there's no talk about the religious liberty of gay people or their allies? Mm-mm. Because we all know, once you go homo, the next day your Atheists of America card just shows right up in your mailbox. Just ask Peter Godbold. I mean, you know, there's our dear friend Peter Godbold, gay as gay can be. Oh wait, he's still Wow. Oh, yeah, still a devoted follower of Christ Jesus and even continues to do volunteer work for his church.
Well, on here in the state of Indiana, what this law means in states across the country, and to make sure that people know Indiana's open for business. I mean, you all have...
Bingo! Wait a minute. And by the way, Mike Pence needs to send a check to Joe Manchin now for using that phrase, open for business. That was Joe's phrase back when he was running for governor the first time. West Virginia was going to be open for business. But there's your answer. Please, Angie's List. Please, pretty please. Bring your $40 million back. Please, Angie's List. We like your we like your $40 million. I mean, we like you. Oh, goodness me, NCAA. Don't move to Illinois. Don't move to Ohio. Yeah, they're not going to move to Ohio. But please, pretty please. We love you millions. You love we open for business.
Been to the Hoosier State.
Yep.
You know there are no kinder, more hospitable people in America than here in Indiana.
You're not even a southern state. Southern states are the most hospitable, kind people in America when they're not lynching people. Hoosiers, kind, hospitable. Please. I had a note earlier. Let me see if I can find it, because it was cute. Ron and Raleigh sent me this earlier. And I, at the time I read it, I got a real giggle out of it. Ron said, the whole Indiana thing reminds me of these lines from the outlaw Josie Wales. Never heard of nice things coming from Missouri, she snaps back. And treading lightly is not my way. We're from Kansas, Jayhawkers, and proud of it. I know how you feel, the shopkeeper offers, trying to keep the peace. I'm a Hoosier myself, to which the old woman responds, personally, I don't think much of Hoosiers, neither. Ron said, I guess Hoosiers aren't as nice as they think. Personally, I don't think much of Hoosiers, neither. Bingo. Not much more of this the blather left, so let's just wrap it up and we'll go to the phones.
And if we have to make adjustments in this law to make it clear that simply that this law was never intended, as some have mischaracterized it, to create the impression that businesses have the right to turn away customers on the basis of sexual orientation or any other reason.
Despite the fact that you've already got a family running a humongous hustle, including a GoFundMe campaign that has raised hundreds of thousands of dollars. Call it the Chick-fil-A syndrome. Yeah, that was never the intent of the law, even though these people said that was exactly what they were going to do. And now, how much angry? The angry Indian pointing out, and Carol alluded to it, too. They've raised somewhere around $100,000 for this crummy little pizzeria in Indiana, because the mean old homos said ugly things to them about, because you know what the mean people did. Yeah, when what was it called, Jesus Pizza or whatever it is, when they said that, well, we wouldn't provide pizza to no gay wedding. The mean people went over to Yelp, you know, Yelp.com, Y-E-L-P, and they started saying nasty things about their pizza. And so the Christian pizza, right before the Christian pizza Easter selling season was fully upon them, had to shut down. They shut it down, and they said they might not never open again unless some people
give them hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Kind of reminds me of something my friend Dave Sibrey posted on his Facebook page earlier today. There's this big, there's a couple of homes up in Morgantown, West Virginia. One down in town itself and another one out by Cheat Lake. And they are beautiful things because they were built by an Italian immigrant stonemason who did stonework all the way from Pittsburgh all the way down to Kentucky. And then when he got back, he gathered up stone and built his own homes. And he built a castle out on Cheat Lake. And of course, he was devoutly Roman Catholic, and so there's a big cross on it. And for years, it was run as a Franciscan friary. But they ran out of friars. The guys in the robes, not friable chickens or things to put the chickens in, no. And so it fell into disrepair. Well, a preacher with a gospel hustle came along. At the time that it was built, this castle in 2015 dollars would have cost $300 million to build. Using his tax-free status, our minister of the gospel bought it for $1.5 million and has renovated it to the glory of God, mind you, and had a little bit of an open house and explained to people that his family was going to use it as a parsonage. So, there will never be a penny of property taxes paid on it again. The gospel sharp and his family will have a castle to live in. I still haven't found in the Gospels where Jesus says, go forth and build yourself a castle and take tax-free exemptions in my name. Can't find that. Keep looking. But this is the same thing. Yeah. The angry Indian pointing out, Mediaite now says that Jesus Pizza's Indiegogo campaign is now at $250,000. They are better at this than we are, by a long shot. Oh, finish up, Mike Pence.
We're going to fix that.
Sure. Governor, there have been some people, I know you've been watching TV, there's been a firestorm directed at the Hoosier State. We just ran a soundbite from Al Sharpton that suggested the law, in addition to be discriminating against gays, is racist as well. What do you say to your critics who are interpreting your good intentions this way?
Well, I would first remind them that President Bill Clinton signed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act into law.
There's that godly Bill Clinton again.
Law in 1993. In fact, as a state senator, Barack Obama voted for Illinois' Religious Freedom Restoration Act.
And there he is, a Kenyan Muslim, you slurper.
And this is law that has worked in a very effective way, frankly, to promote tolerance around the country in cases where religious liberty is involved. And
right.
With regard to that claim, let me...
Because where around the country are they burning Baptists at the stake? Oh, wait, they aren't. Never mind.
Say, 5 years ago, my wife, my three children, and I walked across the Edmund Pettus Bridge with John Lewis.
Oh, wait, really? He's going to bring out some of my best friends are black? It's time for the... Oh, wow, this thing has devolved. I have Negro friends. Yes, I do. And see, that way, we don't hate them much. I mean, I did say sorry about the up yours, but... So we're done. We're done with Mike Pence. Oh, by the way, we're also done with the second hour of the program. It's right at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Luda with a note. Well, Bob, to quote the great movie, Josie Wales, Senator, there's an old saying in Missouri, don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining. But there's a pee being spewed everywhere these days. A lot of good lines in that movie. Thank you, Luda. We are 2 hours through the program. We have a $75 challenge courtesy of Gary on the table. It has thus far been left there on the table. Kind of hate to miss out on challenges because, people stop being inspired to make them. We're trying to raise $215 this evening. We have raised precisely zero. Like I said, the other side does this better than we do. Trying to stay out of a hole. It's early April. We did an absolute flurry of bill paying in March. But in order to continue doing that, we got to raise some funds every evening. And so far, like I said, we are at that complex mathematical term known as BUPKIS. The PayPal interface is at headonradionetwork.com. The mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. I suspect we have John on the gizmo line. Hey, John, is that you?
Yeah, I'm tooling through God's forsaken Arizona. Since you were talking about all this religious stuff, God's forsaken Arizona, religious stuff, it's it. So, gotta give you a buzz. I won't be able to do it till tomorrow, but if you do the account, you can go ahead and toss $25 on sure thing.
Well, thank you kindly, John.
Yeah, I've got to set up through that PayPal thing, and I have to wait till my card clears to do it. But anyhow, in reference to your discussion, this is all the same Alec-driven. It's all in the same vein as the I'm a conscientious objector pharmacist that doesn't want to give drugs to the slut who gets pregnant. Or I am the doctor who doesn't want to prescribe morning after pills because...
Or I'm the ambulance driver who doesn't want to transport the gay guy with a heart attack.
Yeah, because he might get some of that HIV on me or something. It's all the same freaking vein. It's you call it the religion industry, but it's even more than that. It's that thin sliver of Republicans who want a damn theocracy and they want to run the laws like based on some religious thing. You know, and this law, there's an old saying, a knife can be used to kill you and it can also be used to cut a piece of bread. These guys, they can stand there with their teeth in their mouth and their bare face hanging out and say, oh, this is for religious freedom, yabba dabba dabba do. And yet, just that Indian came up and said, I want to use peyote to do my religious services, there would be the, that's not, and it'd be all the grunting, groaning going on about that, despite the law. But these people want their cake and eat it too. They want to be able to get their donations and stir up that old white, hardcore religious folks that will dip into their Social Security checks and their retirement accounts and cough up the money. And like the newspaper article I read today, Pence, he was actually being very serious when he said, I didn't expect this to happen. Because this was his bit to burnish his right-wing creds into in his attempt to maybe run for president. He had to do something to make the crazies like him. And now he's got to try to thread the freaking needle. And like you said, I don't think he's going to be able to pull it off.
I don't think so either. And the question obtains. This came in from Robert in Morgantown. And he says, like I say, Bob, if religious freedom has to be restored, who took it away in the first place? Nobody's given me an answer yet. Well, let me try that, and you tell me if this sounds okay. Religious freedom has been taken away from no small number of people. But they aren't Baptists, and they're not Methodists or Presbyterians or Lutherans or Episcopalians or Catholics or Greek Orthodox or Pentecostal, Holiness, Seventh-day Adventurer, Apostolic, what it? No. The people that have had their religious freedom taken away from them are small minority religions, like the Native American religions. And that did need to be restored, and it was one of the things that drove the passage of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act at a federal level in 1993. But you won't catch Fox talking about that, because what this is a case of the right wing finding a benign law and turning it to their own nefarious ends. Now, you mentioned Alec, and I'll be honest with you, John. I don't like Alec. I wouldn't pee on Alec if it was collectively on fire. But this doesn't smell Alec to me.
Oh, no, this is Alec. Trust me. This is Alec.
Have you researched it? I mean,
I've looked into it. In my present state right now, I can't drag up the information. But if you go into to look who actually sponsors these things, I think in Indiana, you'd have to pull up the state representatives and stuff, and you'll find out that these guys, this Religious Freedom Restoration Act variation has appeared in 15 states this year. You don't get that much push on just some out-of-the-way, fly-by-night, twist-and-turn law, that many states all firing off at the same time. Somebody is back in the backfield going, here's your paperwork, here's your sign.
Oh, no, I don't challenge that at all, and I wouldn't be surprised to find out that the people who introduced this and sponsored it in Talibandiana were also ALEC members. But remember the primary sponsors of ALEC are great big humongous corporations. And this smells to me a lot more like because ALEC is not the only organization, and I'm not trying to give them a pass, I just don't have the proof. ALEC is not the only organization that can do model legislation and send it flying around the country. Look at the states where it's been introduced. Look at, Arkansas, Georgia, Kentucky, Talibandiana, West Virginia, Arizona. These are places where the right-wing religion industry has a strong foothold, too. So I'm thinking, the American Family Association, no, they're a little too weird. But that outfit that's run by Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates, Perkins. They've got
focus on the family and all that stuff,
They've got that kind of stroke.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and this is where some of my research comes in. Like I said, I'm not... You should probably know more about it than I do. I just kind of do it as an armchair. But the concern they have is if you look at the way the numbers are breaking and the way the polls are breaking currently, although it's currently Clinton is the Democratic, and she's pulling enough of the quote-unquote moderate Republican, black Republican support that smart money says she's gonna probably win. So in order to try to fight that, the right wing, the Alex, the family focus and all that stuff, they are desperate to really, really stoke that conservative base.
Oh, no doubt they've got to build a fire under them, no doubt.
They have to. And this is the type of legislation that they've done. They did back in the George Bush and the George Bush era. This is just a variation on the same theme. But they know they're playing as headwinds. Alec, as of about 4.5 months ago, when some of this stuff first broke, they have lost on their presidential and their Volunteers. They've lost Walmart. They've lost Target. They lost several of their major flagship. They have like this level thing going on where, you know, certain corporations pay like, $10,000 there. They're ranked at a certain level. They pay $50,000, ranked at a different level, et cetera, et cetera. They've lost, there was an article written, and maybe your, Miss Carol can pull it up and refresh our memory, but Alec lost like 30 or 40 major card carriers in the last 6, 8, 10 months. Because of this stuff, because they saw the numbers as far as the business community goes. But at the same time, they're dealing with the fact that this is the thing, and this is my personal opinion again, and search on certain caveat there, but I do not think the Republicans stand much of a chance of winning, and the demographics start to turn against them, even for things like Senate and House seats, even with the gerrymandering. And they see the tea leaves. Younger millennials and things like that, a lot of them are not fighting for that stuff. And if they're going to try to hold on to power, they have to go back to the same bunch of crazed old people. And this is one of their last chances to really get that before the numbers show. Another 4 years, you know, how many more are you going to get? And that's my opinion. I mean, that's, you know, six and one dozen the other. You know, if I actually knew anything, I wouldn't be driving a truck. But, you know, let's get the point.
Well, I do. And I think there's a lot of truth to it. And everything in this country is political now, John.
Well, everything's political and everything's money, and that's where the fight is coming in. You know, I referred to it once before here on the sci-fi channel. I don't know if it's still a current show or not. It may or may not be. I haven't been able to keep up with it, but I have a copy of the first season of Continuum, and it's and although the show itself isn't all that grand, but the pretext of the show is actually kind of interesting. The show puts forth the concept that at a certain time in the future, the United States and I believe the North American governments go bankrupt and the corporations quote unquote step in and bail out. And as a result, they take over the Congress. They have what's called the corporate Congress.
Well, over on Facebook, James just wrote in and said, it may not be Alec, but it may be on the you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours level.
Yeah, that actually makes more sense than what I said, Chad. Yeah, these guys are like kittens all cuddled together in a basket. They follow each other around and, you know, do this, do that, something else.
James has an idea here. He just posted it to the Horn Facebook page, Facebook group, and you know, this is how devious us liberals can be. James wrote, I'm about 30 miles from Indiana, so we can all meet at my house for a border raid to oppress some Hoosiers. Just not sure how to go about it. We could go around on Saturday night and TP a bunch of churches, you know, real oppression, or just sit there in church the next morning and sing all out of key or get the words wrong or something. Any ideas?
But you got to remember, and this is where I show my ignorance here. Almost every business I go to, there's usually stuck on a window in the entranceway a little sign that says, we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone.
Yeah.
And
how many times have seen the sign that says no shirt, no shoes, no service?
Yeah.
Well,
businesses have always had
no heterosexual shirt, no heterosexual shoes, no service.
Yeah, don't wear no Birkenstocks or
oh, you just had to go to the Birkenstocks, didn't you?
Yeah, well, hey, I'm old, go figure. But Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like that pizza guy made, you know, I made this business, and it's mine, and I blah, blah, and I invested in all that stuff. You know, the thing about it is that these people, and I, unfortunately Obama stepped into it when he made the comment, but if you stop and think about it, he was absolutely correct. Particularly these small right-wing freaking pizza shops and Chick-fil-A's and shit. Yeah, they built a business, but they built a business with a lot of help. With an infrastructure and with a legal system and a banking
and with a lot and with a lot of yeah and a lot of damn savvy too.
Yeah, and a lot of help, and they think that, well, because their name's on the freaking deed, that somehow they did it all by themselves. And you know, it's amazing to me. I've always here's the thing I've always believed. We'll use the pizza owner as the example. I sell pizzas. I've always been amazed by these people who talk about, well, you know, Jesus is against this and all that stuff. Well, he's also a big forgiver. So why don't you sell the damn pizza, and then when the guy leaves, he only needs and ask forgiveness. Somehow I got a feeling you'll still end up with the $10, and you feel better.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you cater the gay wedding that's done in really poor taste and has pizza for the reception, and maybe tell them about the saving grace of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Or how about serving the pizza with a little God bless you, and may this wedding be may this marriage be blessed by Jesus Christ. I mean, isn't that how their Savior said that they were supposed to go about this stuff?
Yeah. But it's always amazing. It's like, you know, one guy made a comment today on one of the programs I listened to, and he asked a very obvious question. He goes, if a gay guy walks into your establishment, unless you happen to be one of the special people, like wedding planners or baker or something like that, is doing special for the weddings, for any other business, would it be, and it's actually, we already know this, if you walk into a restaurant and you want to sit down and they look at you and say, no, we don't serve your kind here, you'd be good grounds for a lawsuit.
Right. And see, wait. That's the little tap dance that Mike Pence is doing. He said, well, if I saw discrimination, I'd get up and leave. Yeah, but the thing is, if he saw discrimination, he also would not support a lawsuit brought by the person being discriminated against. See how it works, huh?
Yeah, that's the whole point of this law, is to defang the government so that it can't stand up for the oppressed.
Right, because government's bad.
No, government's evil. I mean, government stands up for poor people and for disadvantaged people and all that stuff. Oh, that nasty little government. You know, that's, you know, it's like, oh, blessed be Father Norquist. You know, let's find that bathtub and start drowning that freaking baby. You know, and this is the same thread that goes through all this stuff. Now, I admit, I listened to the guy, and I listened to a little bit of Asa Hutchinson's tap dance he did today. And, you know, these guys, see, this is how I know and how I suspect that this was cooked up, is because they didn't know what they were doing. They said, you want us to do this? This is okay. Okay, we'll go ahead and put it in. They put it in. They ran it through the system. But they did not know and or understand what they were getting into. And when it blew up in their freaking face, they're doing the Home Alone thing. You know, running around with their butt on fire, going, I'm on fire. What the hell? How did this happen? Give me some water, damn it. Oh, I'm not in California. I can't use water. Shit. Oh. Crap like that. You know, that's how this stuff works. They didn't know it. It's just like they don't read the bills. They don't know what they're doing. They don't care because it just satisfies a bunch of beads and rattle-waking people. just terrible, terrible people. And if there was a God up there, oh, there'd be some iron-banded chairs with their names emblazoned on them so that they'd be cinching their butt when they sat down. But I think it's fairly safe to say that there isn't, because if they truly believed this stuff, they wouldn't do it, because they would know what the result would be. It makes the entire religious belief system a lie, because they know damn well that if they truly believed, they wouldn't do this shit. But that's me and my soapbox. You have a good night, you and your friends. And like I said, I'll have my card clear tomorrow. I'll bump you, 25.
All right. Well, thank you very kindly. Thank you very kindly, John. And keep the shiny side up and the dirty side down, right? Yeah, that's what you say in CB lingo, right?
I'm a tortoise.
All right, you take care. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
See you, John. Bye. Great conversation with John out on the road. And thanks to Carol and Thomas and to John, we are only $20 away from meeting Gary's $75 challenge. Thank you, Gary, for making it. Thank you all for responding to it. Just 20 bucks away from that, and then that will put us only $65 away from coming even and going into tomorrow okay. So we'll cross our fingers and hope for the best. Little note, I like this. I shared James's note about maybe going and singing off-key in church, you know, really persecuting them good. But another individual noted, I'm already embedded. Shh, don't say anything. I'm already embedded in the children of the corn state. But please do not tell anyone. Please keep in mind that not only are Hoosiers living amongst the freshly Monsanto-sprayed corn and bean fields, we're also in the Bible Belt and are devout thumpers. At night, we don white sheets and parade around burning crosses. By day, just your average, normal, peaceful, gun-toting folks. I cannot divulge which psychology of attack you should use against us, but you will know as soon as you enter our corn state what to do. Exactly. Hooty-hoot, Sergeant Carter. Hooty-hoot. Oh, by the way, before I go over to the Skype line, a little note. Now, not too long back, Gert here in West Virginia, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin, actually vetoed the Let's Let Everybody Carry Guns Concealed Everywhere bill. Not so much luck out in Kansas, Stan. The Angry Indian pointed out for my benefit earlier that Governor Sam Brownback signed into law a bill that will allow Kansans to carry guns concealed without a permit. The NRA wins another one. Somehow I just can't quite imagine the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas Stan breaking out all pistol packer. But it might get a little weird out in Kansas Stan. Get is. Haley, I'm sorry. I accidentally cut you off there on Skype. Do feel free to buzz back in, and you'll be more than welcome. I don't know how I screwed that up. So we'll just kind of wait on that. By the way, speaking of Arkenstan, whence comes Haley? Haley's brand new shiny senator is Tom Cotton. Now remember, he's the one. He was the leader of the 47 treasonous senators who violated the Logan Act and arguably the Constitution of the United States, hence treason. With their little letter to Iran. Well, Tom Cotton has, it's obvious from the fact that he is so eager to be on the TV. Tom Cotton is an ambitious man. And he jumped out there to defend religious discrimination. And wait till you hear who it is that he wants the United States to be judged next to in terms of standards of conduct. Here we go. This will be sweet and special.
Get your quick reaction to what's going on in your home state of Arkansas. A very different subject. The governor, Asa Hutchinson, as you well know, decided he wasn't going to sign into law this religious freedom bill, in part based on what's going on in Indiana right now. Your reaction?
Well, Wolf, in Arkansas, we believe in religious freedom. That's one reason why our...
Well, everybody believes in religious freedom.
My God, behold the coelacanth. Did we just hear Wolf Blitzer actually push back by saying everybody believes in religious freedom? In Arkansas, Wolf, we believe in religious freedom. But where don't they, really? California... Well, they might believe in religious freedom, but they don't believe in the right religious freedom. Right-wing religious freedom. Yeah. Because, you know, those Baptists and Church of Christ and Apostolic Holiness Seventh-day Adventurers, they're getting so oppressed in Arkansas.
One reason why our
But the question is the discrimination, potential discrimination against gay Americans.
The Religious Freedom Restoration Act was signed by former Arkansas Governor Bill Clinton in his first year in office.
Well, we've got another Republican in love with Bill Clinton. Hey, Bill, do you realize how many Republicans are taking your name in vain, Bill? You think we could persuade you to maybe say a little something about how you never support... Well, wait a minute. No, probably can't. Never mind. Shut up, Bob.
These laws are modeled on that, and a lot of the concerns about discrimination haven't been borne to bear over the last 20 years.
Except for the fact that it's not the same law, but never mind. So there's going to be a... You didn't put away the hockey puck, did you? I hope not. Good. Because get it. Bite down real good.
But I also think it's important that we have a sense of perspective about our priorities. In Iran, they hang you for the crime of being gay. They're currently imprisoning an American preacher for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ in Iran.
Well, at least they're not hanging him for being gay. There you have it. Leading light of the Republican Party, Tom Cotton, says at least in Arkansas we don't want to hang gay people. That should be comforting, I suppose. Now, obviously, he intends it to be good news. Maybe we can put it on the signs there at the state line. Welcome to Arkansas. We don't hang gays because we're not Iran.
We should focus on the most important priorities that our country faces right now. And I would say that a nuclear-armed Iran, given the threat that it poses to the region and to our interest in the region and American citizens, is the most important thing that we'd be focused on.
All right, so did God...
Yeah, okay, so no. Actually, a nuclear-armed Iran is not more important to the United States than the question of whether every citizen in the United States is, fully vested with the laws, with the rights and duties appertaining unto the Constitution? That actually is more important than a nuclear-armed Iran, because a nuclear-armed Iran is rather a long way off, and is even a longer way off as a result of this framework announced. But no, Tom Cotton would never hang a gay person if anybody was watching. Hey, Haley, what's happening? Haley? We're connected. Don't have any connectivity problems. Haley. I'm not muted. Check the connections real quick, like. Yeah, I got... Wait, what? Hold on. Might be me. Time out. Black Stagging Rock Cracking. Check. Huh. Well, this is very strange. Well, Haley, I'm sorry. For some reason or another, we're having Skypey problems. I'll be dipped. Maybe try back in on 304-663-4676. I don't, but, oh, damn. Oh, well, we'll sort it out, I hope. Sorry about that, Haley. That's just straight. Let's try this just for fun. Jim, do you hear me? No. Okay, something is wrong with Harold. And I don't know what it is. So if you want to get through on the phones, you'll need to call on 304-663-4676. There's Jim trying in on the Skype line again. Jim, do you hear me? No, you do not. Well, beats the dickens out of me. Maybe stop and restart Skype. This is part of the joy of being a one-man production team. Makes no sense at all. Give me a minute. We'll restart it. No, you haven't lost the stream. This is me being silent, trying to get the damn phone to cooperate. Okay. I think it's working again. Maybe, wait a sec. Go figure. Well, the Skype line is working again, so that's at least a little bit reassuring. All right, let's check in on Maud, the Gizmo line. I think we got Jim. Hey, Jim. Now, what in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here? Oh, Jim, are you there? Ah, there you are, Jim.
I think Maud just went over the cliff with Harold.
I think they did. Too damn many buttons, Jim. Too many buttons.
As I said before, it's technology crowned, so it crucifies.
And as I've said before, I'm nailed right in.
Well, I guess so. Now, I was listening to part of what you said. I'm getting in late, but nonetheless, these governors who are signing these bills that are causing a lot of problems and a lot of protests, I mean, I guess their followers think they're some sort of patriot, don't they?
Well, they have to be, Jim. They're defending religion.
Well, you know, I can see defending religion, but not in that way. Because in this way, patriots are the virtuous. I think it was Oscar Wilde who said this. They are the virtuous of the vicious.
I think you're, yeah. I think you're, Jim, I mean, anywhere in America, do you have an answer? Where are they oppressing religious people?
I don't think there's any place where they're oppressing religious people. I think a lot of religious people are oppressing themselves into an absolute corner, for lack of a better term. They really are.
Well, let me...
The whole thing is just totally excessive and uncalled for.
Here's my point. Is it possible that the fundamentalist, and let's understand, there's nobody from the Episcopal Church of the United States who's sitting there saying, "Yay, pass this bill." No. The United Churches of Christ, the Unitarians, the Congregationalists, they're not doing this. This is being done by the fundamentalists. Okay.
Bob, the Episcopal Church was the very first Protestant church to admit black people to take the communions along with whites.
Yeah, that's my point. They're not behind any of this.
No,
this is the thump it but don't read it contingent of fundamentalism. And here's my thesis, and I guess I'll frame it as a question. Could it be that these people cannot exist, cannot be happy, in fact, unless they feel like they have some sense of persecution?
Possibly.
They have so thoroughly steeped themselves in the martyrdom traditions, which is what fundamentalisms do, whether it be Muslim, Hindu, Christian, what have you. They have so thoroughly steeped themselves in the martyrdom tradition that if they don't have something to point to and say, in order to say, "See, they're being mean to us," then their fervor loses some of its, their zeal loses some of its validity. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, and I think a lot of it is compensatory behavior.
Precisely.
That's the way I feel about it. Always have. And these people do a great deal of harm. And they militate against their own cause. But But that sort of feeling and that sort of compensatory behavior has to have something to devour. But what they don't realize is part of what, or most of what is being devoured, is their own cause.
So, a
component of that is just pure hatred. Another part of it is ignorance, and a lot of it is how can I say this?
Paranoia?
Paranoia, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they can't exist. I mean, certain types of doctrines like this can't exist without something to hate, something to destroy, something to militate against.
And see, having been raised in all of that, Jim, remember, it was fundamentalists who burned Elvis Presley records. It was Baptists and the like who burned Beatles records.
Oh, yeah. They had the big thing in Chicago when they burned all the disco records. I've never heard quite figure that one out.
Yeah, that one wasn't religious.
I know, but just as an aside, I never could figure that one out. I mean, I don't know why.
And created a hell of a mess, too.
Yeah, they did.
But, you know, I can remember as a little baby Fundy being warned, sternly warned, against ever setting my hand upon a Ouija board, Jim.
I'll share an experience with you if you've got the time.
Sure.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
I remember as part of a Halloween thing, I had been bored years ago. And, you know, I didn't even have the planchette that goes with it. But I put it up on my front door for Halloween. And this very devoted Roman Catholic friend of mine came over and saw it and felt as though she couldn't come in the front door. And even started spreading rumors about me that I was a devotee of the occult.
Oh, yeah. And that's,
told,
you know, that's,
and
that's.
She told this other lady that, this lady who lived near me. And I finally had to solve that by writing both of them letters. And the way I phrased those letters, the way I put them together was, I said, continue this, and I'm going to see you in court. Because, I mean, her interpretation of the whole thing was that I was over here practicing some sort of black magic and had pentangles underneath an oriental rug or whatever, and candles and things of that nature. I mean...
And that's my point.
That's how far people will go.
Yeah, as a little baby Fundy, I was warned against ever setting my hand to one of those things. Because it would allow a demon to enter my body. From the pulpit, it was preached that we must never, never, and it was kind of difficult because it was on the same page of the newspaper. It was okay to read the comics. It was okay to do the crossword puzzle. It was maybe even, card playing's kind of dodgy. But to never, ever, ever read the horoscope, because then a demon could enter you.
My God, they're in the paper. I mean, you know, who was the guy, Carol Richter or somebody like that, who used to write the horoscope in the papers every day? And, of course, don't forget our dear friend, Mrs. Reagan, and her husband had Joan Quigley up there, and they were being paid by a National Republican Committee funds or whomever to interpret their horoscopes. I mean, that's straight out of Kitty Kelly.
Sure.
I mean, so, you know, if the fundamentalists and these people who abhor horoscopes and things of that nature want to exalt Ronnie Reagan, well, they need to read about that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a conflict of rationality to me. That's exactly what it is. There's nothing rational about this. And personally, as far as Ouija boards are concerned, I've never used one, don't care to use one, because I'll say this, there's a part of me that says, well, you know, maybe I don't need to dabble in something like that, because number one, it's just, it isn't valid. But nonetheless, I mean, that's just something that creeps up in the back of my mind, okay? We all have things like this. I'm sure you do, too.
Sure.
You know. And then you see these things on TV about people who use the Ouija board, and, of course, when they use the Ouija board, it was an outlet to allow, as you said, some demon or some type of arcane spirit to enter into your realm. So, I mean, you know, that's one of the big things on some of these TV programs, particularly the ones that talk about a haunting. That's one of the programs on cable. And they've had several on there about people who've used Ouija boards and they've gotten into a lot of trouble by summoning up something. I mean, maybe they did, maybe they didn't, I don't know. But I know this, you know, I don't care to use one. Never bought one. Don't have a planchette to use one. So I just can't sit on the carpet and try to, you know, do that.
Yeah, I understand.
But I mean, you know, there are a lot of people who.
But it goes to the larger issue, Jim, of the paranoia that infects fundamentalism. And if you were to go and look at versions of Islamic fundamentalism, or Jewish fundamentalism, they have their own paranoias. I mean, for God's sakes, an ultra-Orthodox Jewish man will not sit next to a female member of the species for fear that she will get her femaleness filth all over him.
Well, I never understood that quite either, but I mean, if that's what they want to believe, that's what they believe.
Right, and as long as that they keep it within their community, what's the problem? None. Thomas Jefferson said, it neither breaks my leg nor picks my purse.
Well, there it is.
But the thing is, they don't share that same live and let live attitude, which is in the nature, too, of fundamentalisms, Jim.
But, you know, I received an email a couple of weeks ago from the same individual we're talking in after I had threatened her with whatever. She constantly reforms to, makes reference to that she will be able to storm the gates of heaven. And I never quite understood that expression. And my reply to her was, I said, I'll take this from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Only a penitent man will pass.
Yep.
Said heaven will not be stormed as if you take a fortress.
Right. Now, the only regard I've ever had for that phrase was the brilliant book that was authored, good God, back in the late 80s, early 90s, by a wonderful West Virginia author by the name of Denise Jardina, and the title of the book was Storming Heaven. And it is a powerful, powerful piece of writing.
I've never understood that expression. How can one storm the gates of heaven?
I think, and somebody could correct me, but I'm thinking it refers to one's worthiness or one's piety.
I think you're right, and I think that's what she means exactly. And whenever I have refuted that particular, and I have on several occasions refuted that particular thing about only the penitent man shall pass, and all your piety, all your wit can, you know, accomplish that task. this person there, Roman Catholic, they just believe they can storm the gates of heaven.
Well, I'm looking for it now.
Okay.
That's the beautiful thing about the interweb tubes.
Oh, yeah, when they work.
Yeah, well, sometimes you get something.
Well, you know, like I said before, you know, as far as I'm concerned, as far as heaven is concerned, only the penitent man shall pass. And I think that was part of that movie.
Yeah, that was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Exactly.
And my favorite line, he chose poorly.
Exactly. He chose poorly. That's right. It wasn't a jewel cup. It was a simple cup made of clay, a carpenter's cup. And I think these people get so wrapped around to, and I'm not trying to offend anyone who's a Roman Catholic. I'm not. To indulge in a lot of ritualistic and repetitive offerings. I mean, you can say how many Hail Marys or how many Our Fathers. That's fine. But I think they sort of lose track of that.
Well, I think that's part and parcel of my resistance to any organized religion. Anybody who says that they have the way, well,
yeah, it does.
It probably worked for somebody, but it doesn't mean it'll work for everybody. Hey, Jim, I'm sorry about the technical problems, but I do want to try to get one more call on. And I wish you a good evening. And I certainly hope you enjoyed reading the origins of the Bomb Charleston story.
Well, the thing about it is when I saw the headlines of that thing or the logo over the top of it, I thought to myself, who in the hell designed this webpage? And then when I started reading back through it, I said, oh, Lord, have mercy. I mean, these are just absolutely crazy people. But it's out there. That's the thing. As I said before, as a crown, so it crucifies. So let me let you go.
Indeed, indeed. Jim, have a good evening. Bye.
Out
now.
Here.
Our buddy Jim, and let's go over for a few minutes with our buddy Will from Chicago. Can you hear me, Will? Will? Now, Will? I could have sworn we had this sorted out. One, two, check. Okay, I got Mike going through. I'm hearing something. Will? Yeah, I've got audio. Oh, okay. Hopefully, maybe.
Sorry about that, Bob. I had to unmute.
Oh, glory. It wasn't
you
me.
You realize it. So let me plug. How do I sound without the headphones on?
No, you're fine. You just, you know, do not make your genial self-produced radio host all paranoid, please.
No problem. You haven't been invaded by the NSA, the GOP, or the UFO.
All of which is a real plus in my book.
Yes, yes. Although, if someone were to transport Governor Mike Pence as a resident of Indiana who voted for the other guy, I would say, please deposit him on the planet between Saturn and Neptune, as is quite appropriate.
Yeah, and we know what that one is.
Yes, I have one out that pure puerile, except to say that it does save them fuel from tossing him into a black hole where he'll be crushed into a singularity, which is even smaller than the brains of Ted Cruz, believe it or not. But I thought I'd call to wish everyone well, offer some very quick observations, as I know Time's chariot is pulling up around the bend. First, congratulations to the world powers who decided to try to pursue peace on an awful day when in Kenya 174 people were killed by religious fanatics who are fundamentalists who believe they alone have the answer. Their main traditions, where they are branches which believe that our individual answers may work for us, but not necessarily for anyone else, and we must have the courage to pursue the truth.
Exactly.
And we must have the courage to pursue peace. Unlike McCain and Netanyahu, who I believe in both of their respective countries represent a waning movement that is inevitably will fail, which is perhaps the reason why they seem so desperate, because if they don't get what they want soon, they lose. If the opposition to the Likud had ran a better campaign, talked about peace, Bibi Netanyahu would be on the rubber chicken circuit, which I'm sure he will be on in a few years because he may get what he asked for.
Only if the rubber chicken circuit goes through The Hague, then will I be happy.
Well, in his case, I look at it this way. He has done the impossible. He has actually made me miss Ariel Sharon, who, though arrogant, ham-fisted, and warmonger, had more sense than Netanyahu. But then again, so may Ted Cruz. But let's remember.
Low bar.
Even if we disagree, let's keep the lines of dialogue open in this and other communities, because that is the key thing to peace and activism. Uri Avneri, an Israeli peace activist, was criticized in the 60s for talking to the PLO, but had been actively active in peace, in the efforts to make peace since before there was an Israel, and he's still doing so at age 93. His motto is to always keep talking, keep the dialogue going, and let's keep the dialogue going here at the Horn, because Bob doesn't have a rich sugar daddy by the name of George Soros, and the Soros clause completely missed his household, Malloy's household, and Nicole Sandler's household, and a lot of other households. And strangely, I haven't gotten my check for the World Jewish Conspiracy in some time.
Oh, the learned elders of Zion are laying down on the job. Maybe they're vacationing with George Soros, because I'm not getting my checks from him either.
Yeah, so let's remember, let's keep this going. Let's get out there, talk to each other, keep this community going. Let's keep other communities going as well. Take a stand. Help, even if all you can do is lend your voice, bug your Congress critic, bug your alderman, do it. The key thing is we don't give up. Why? Does the right wing ever give up short of giving up their last breath? No, neither should we.
Indeed. And thank you for helping out, Will, between you and Carol and Thomas and Robert and Gary. Gary's the other Gary's challenge has been met and exceeded this evening, so that we go into tomorrow in A-OK shape. And that is so huge, I cannot express it.
Well, there is a Persian saying which comes to mind, and it's appropriate because of the deal with Iran. To be in debt is to be a slave. I suggest that we set Bob and other good causes, such as those associated with the AIC Act and good causes everywhere, such as Planned Parenthood, free by helping out when we can, even if all we can do is maybe show up and answer the phones or send in a small check, because I don't think you or any other good progressive host would object to a dollar or even 25 cents.
There is no such thing as small in this world.
Exactly. Everyone.
It's all huge.
Exactly, because remember, the great movements that change our world were not just led by men and women who were visionaries, not just by Emma Lazarus or a Jane Addams or Dr. King or by any other great figure, but also by the people whose names history did not record. And yet without them, any of those people I mentioned would say these are the ones who made a difference, because without their numbers, my voice would have been crying in the wilderness. And let's make sure we don't end up crying in the wilderness. So help if you can, and let's make a difference out there.
Thank you, Will, and have a good evening. And if I don't talk to you again, a happy and blessed Seder to you.
Having a Seder shortly, should be out tomorrow. So I will suggest, if you're listening, do consider joining Friday on the Front Porch. It's a great way to get to talk in depth, which is something we don't have happening very much of in our media anymore.
And Friday on the Front Porch is great fun, and Skype is working, so we'll all be merrily together. Thank you, Will. Good evening, and Mazel Tov.
Mazel Tov.
Bye now. Our good buddy Will in Chicago. Thanks, everybody, for meeting Gary's challenge. That was amazing, especially in the brief time that it happened in. Thank you very much. Hey, time to get out of here in a big way. We're over time, as a matter of fact. I need to get out of the way, so because I know a lot of people head over, including myself, to listen to Malloy. Y'all take care. Have a wonderful evening. Great to be back. Talk to you soon. Good night, y'all.